The following is a class given by His Holiness Jayaprakasa Swami on April 8, 1993 in Mumbai, India. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 4, Texts 18 through 23.
Who was very affectionate to his daughters, created different types of living entities to his semen and to his mind. Report, the word Duhitri Vatsala indicates that all the Prajas were born from Daksha's daughters. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that apparently Daksha had no son. It explains how after, in the Swayambhuva Manu, because of offending Lord Shiva, then he got his head cut off and it was substituted by a goat head. So he was a bit ashamed over that, so he gave up that body. And now in the 6th month Vantara, known as the Chakshusha Manvantara, he again took birth as the son of the Pachetas in the womb of Marisha. So now we're reading about Prajapati Daksha. The next few verses don't have any purport, so just go ahead quickly.
Manasaiva srijat purvam prajapatirima praja devasura manushyadin navastala jalaukasa.
With his mind, Prajapati Daksha first created all kinds of demigods, demons, human beings, birds, beasts, aquatics, and so on.
Tam abrinhitam alokya praja sargam prajapati vindya padan upavrajya sachara duskarankapa.
But when Prajapati Daksha saw that he was not properly generating all kinds of living entities, he approached a mountain near the Vindya mountain range, and there he executed very difficult austerities.
Tatra gamarshanam nama tirtam papaharam param upasprisyanu savanam tapasato shayadharim.
Near that mountain was a very holy place named Agamarshana. There Prajapati Daksha executed ritualistic ceremonies and satisfied the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari by engaging in great austerities to please him.
Ashtau shiddham sa guyena bhagavantam madhokshajam tubhyantata vidhasyami kasyatu shatyatahari.
My dear King, I shall fully explain to you the hamsa guya prayers which are offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead by Daksha, and I shall explain how the Lord was pleased with him for those prayers. Report, it is to be understood that the Hamsa Guhya prayers were not composed by Daksha, but were existing in the Vedic literatures. So here is the first verse of the Hamsa Guhya prayers.
Sri Prajapati Uvacha Namah Parara Naram Paraya Vitasanubhutaye गुणाचयाभाषनिमित्तबन्धवे अदृष्टधाम्ने गुणतत्त्वबुद्धिभिः निवृत्तमानाय जने स्वयम्भुवे. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Sai Prabhupada. Prajapati Daksha said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to the illusory energy and the physical categories it produces. He possesses the potency for unfailing knowledge and supreme willpower, and He is the controller of the living entities and the illusory energy. The conditioned souls who have accepted this material manifestation as everything cannot see Him, for He is above the evidence of experimental knowledge, self-evident and self-sufficient. He is not caused by any superior cause. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto Him. Report. The transcendental position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is explained herewith. He is not perceivable by the conditioned souls who are accustomed to material vision and cannot understand that the Supreme Personality of Godhead exists in His abode, which is beyond that vision. Even if a materialistic person could count all the atoms in the universe, he would still be unable to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as confirmed in Brahma Samhita 5:34. Pantastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo vayoratapi manaso muni pungavanam sopyasti yat prapadasim navichintya tatve govindam adi purusham tamahang bhajami. The conditioned souls may try to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead for many billions of years through their mental speculative processes, traveling at the speed of the mind or the wind. But still, the Absolute Truth will remain inconceivable to them because the materialistic person cannot measure the length and breadth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's unlimited existence. If the Absolute Truth is beyond measurement, one may ask, how can one realize Him? The answer is given here by the word Swayambhuve. One may understand Him or not, but nevertheless He is existing in His own spiritual potency. Om Tat Sat. Thus end the verses, text 18 to 23 of chapter 4, canto 6 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Hamsa Guya prayer. Here's an interesting personality who is service to his guru and father, Lord Brahma. His first father was Lord Brahma, and Brahma wanted him to expand the praja, to increase the population in the universe. So Daksha tried to carry out that instruction, but due to committing offenses at the lotus feet of Lord Shiva, a pure devotee, he fell down from his exalted position. But by the mercy of Shiva, he was somehow brought back to some position, but still, and now he's taken another birth, but he's still carrying out his devotion, his service to his spiritual father, Lord Brahma. Even now he's taken birth again. And he's continuing with the attempt to create praja, or to fill out the universe with living entities. It's interesting how someone will do devotional service to the spiritual master or to one's father like that, even over a number of births. Immediately, Daksha took off where he left off. Once he grew up, immediately he tried again to create praja. So from his mind he was so powerful he could create descendants mentally. But he wasn't satisfied with the quality. So just producing quantity is not enough. One wants to also have a good quality of offspring who will be beneficial to the world. So he decided the only way
to achieve success in his activity is to worship the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, So whether one has no desire, some desire for some fruitive activity, in other words, all desires, no desire or desire for liberation, everyone should engage in the devotional service to Hari to achieve that without any condition. So in this way, Daksha is just offering prayers to Vishnu. And he also gets the blessing of Vishnu in the end. You see there also, Daksha, sometimes he tends to get overwhelmed by his material situations. Sometimes he commits offenses to Vaishnavas. At the same time, he worships the Lord, Hari, Krishna, another time. So in the universe, there are different types of devotees. Some devotees are devotees with some material desire. They're called Sakam Bhaktas. Some are devotees without any desire. So those devotees with desire, they don't understand the devotees without desires. That's why you get the situation where some devotee simply wants to serve Krishna for Krishna's pleasure. To serve Guru and Krishna for their pleasure. And then by doing that, because Krishna is the source of everything, when we please Krishna, we are part of Krishna, we also feel transcendental happiness. So much happiness that is incomparable with anything else. But the other devotees who are Sakam Bhakta, they think you worship Hari and you'll fulfill your desire. So why, when already we have enough now, or now you're young, or something, why do you want to surrender to Krishna now? Because already your desires are getting fulfilled. Wait till you're old and you're ready to die, and that time you can't enjoy life anyway. Then you should surrender to Krishna. Then get moksha. That's their general idea. So you find that so many parents, they tell their children, not too much devotion. Not so young. Wait till you're ready to fall over like a dead fish in the well with the belly up or something. Just before that last, I don't know what the time is, just before the last shakes of death, you're supposed to surrender. But that doesn't work. People don't suddenly, at the last point in death, surrender. One of Prabhupada's disciples one time tried to get his mother to chant. And so he begged her, please chant Hare Krishna. She was on her deathbed. Doctor said she'll leave any minute, so please chant, chant. He says, no, I can't, I'm feeling too weak, I don't have the strength, I can't. The son told her, oh, but so many words she said, you know, she just said, you know, I can't chant Hare Krishna. She would have been blessed. He says, so many words, giving so many, I can't, I don't know. She just said Hare Krishna. It was so less, only two words. Then she gave 10-15 words excuse and then died. Because that blessing to be able to chant Krishna, you can't just expect it at the last moment. If the whole life you've been thinking of something else. Someone thinks, when my daughters get married, then I'll dedicate myself. But then the daughters get married, I have to worry about the granddaughters. You find so many elderly Indian aristocratic people. But even though their children are already somehow or another, everything is taken care of with them or their, but their grandchildren, the nephews, grandnephews, brothers, sisters, children, grandchildren, so many families go on expanding. So they get totally involved in all those things. And actually the idea to really concentrate on doing devotional service in most cases doesn't come. It's a very special mercy to get that. So if some actually, it mentions Prahlad, he mentioned Komarek, Kumaram Acharit Pragyo, from age of 5, someone should be practicing devotional service. Say, if we're already over 5 years of age, we can count how many years we missed out. First 5, alright, children are not able to concentrate on things. So those 5 are dependent on the parents. So you'll find that for the Grihastha, there are so many samskaras in the first 5 years of life. Birth samskara, annaprasana, then cutting the hair, then writing the first words with a pen. The guru will write Hare Krishna or something on a chalkboard, taking the hand of the child. Everyone is a nice feast. Everybody gets a good prasad, mahaprasad. So in this way, in the first 5 years, the parents, they engage the children in so many samskaras, almost one every year or two. But after 5, then they go to Gurukul, they study. That time they can start to study more seriously. But of course nowadays, and for most of the public, even in India, there's no such training. Their training is also now sitting in front of the television and watching, you know, violence and drugs and so many horrible things that go on there. So anyway, whatever is there, even if it's there's nothing very spiritual. So in this way life goes on and people neglect what is the real purpose of life. So here we see, even though Daksha, he may have had, he was very dedicated to carrying out the order of Brahma, who in one sense you can say is a spiritual master. Even though he may have got, because his particular service of filling up the universe with offspring is a little dangerous. So sometimes he would also make mistakes. Still, he was so fortunate that he would get the darshan of Vishnu. He would also get blessed by in various ways. His children got became pure devotees, which was one other reason why later he also cursed the Narada Muni. Because after having so many nice sons, Narada Muni went and preached to them, you all take sannyas and preach all over the world. So none of them became grihasthas, so Daksha got frustrated. I'm supposed to make Rajani, supposed to make more, fill up the universe, but all my sons are taking sannyas. So he got angry with Narada Muni. So he wanted to curse him. So he cursed them that you cannot remain in one place more than 3 days. So for a grihastha, that's like a big curse for someone in Daksha's position. If you always are moving, that means, you know, so much, no comfort is there, right? You can only get comfort if you can stay in one place. And so he was cursed Narada, that you have to keep on moving. But for Narada Muni, that was a blessing. It was a blessing. So he just keeps on moving and preaching everywhere. The glories of chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Srila Prabhupada said he also got that curse of traveling and preaching, because so many young men and women, they joined the Krishna conscious movement and their parents also were angry with him. They said that they cursed me. So I have also the curse of Narada. I cannot remain in one place very long. Even though Prabhupada had such nice quarters here in Bombay, he could not spend a long time. He would go on from one place to the next preaching. So Prabhupada also said that now my sannyasis, they have to take this curse. Vrindavan, before leaving, he said, now I cannot travel anymore. Now you sannyasis have to take the curse. This is a special curse to travel and preach. The curse of the Brahmins are very powerful. But there's also a story in the Prema Vivarta how Lord Chaitanya delivered someone from the curse of the Brahmana. It explains how Jagadananda Pandit, he explained how he used to go to the house of Sachi Mata and how Sachi Mata would sometimes give him the remnants of the prasadam that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken. And he said he would sit there and he would get these remnants. And he sometimes found portal and neem. Sometimes there was a sukta. There was a different type, two type of sag. This one, Arjuna, some Arjuna sag or something. Another sag was there, kachu sag, the mocha, that means the flower of the banana. Then all various other type of vegetables with rice. He said he would taste all these and he would feel so much love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He'd be like overwhelmed with ecstasy having the remnants of Lord Chaitanya's prasad cooked by Mother Sachi. So it was like a transcendental nectar. Unbelievable, unparalleled. That one day before lunch, in the morning, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went out with a Sankirtan party and he went over to Sarupganj, over the Jalangi River, and he was chanting in Madhya Dweep. At that time, Lord Chaitanya was tired after the kirtan and he said, I'm going to now just associate with the cowherd boys and relax. Immediately, some cowherd boys appeared and they brought him, some yogurt and milk products for his associates. And one of them said, actually, my mother was born in Mayapur. Her name is Shyamala. And she used to always go and help Mother Sachi in her house because she was living near there. She was a small girl. And so she was always called Mother Sachi as Ma. So actually, because in that sense, you are my uncle. Since my mother is like your sister, because my mother called your mother mother. That means that she's your sister. So you're my maternal uncle. So you should come and see your sister, your elder sister, and she will have so many nice milk sweets to give you. She'll be very happy to see you. So Lord Chaitanya went to the house of Shyamala, and there she gave dahi and kheer, so many nice milk sweets. And Lord Chaitanya and all his associates sat down and very peacefully they accepted this prasada from the Vaishnavi. After that they went to this one lake which is known as Kaliya Dawa. And they were going to wash their hands. They said, well, watch out here. There's, none of the cows will go and drink the water here because there's a ferocious crocodile there. And this crocodile, it scares everyone. It's very huge. So then Lord Chaitanya, he called all of his associates and they started to chant kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare
Krishna. So that crocodile started moving here and there. Maharaj knows this story very well. We visit Madhya Dweep and we tell this story there. The crocodile was going here and there. And then in the kirtan, the crocodile came up and started approaching Lord Chaitanya. And the villagers went back. They're very worried, what's going to happen? The crocodile kept up going closer. Lord Chaitanya just kept on chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. The crocodile went and fell at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and touched his lotus feet. The crocodile disappeared and in its place came a Deva Kumar, a young resident from the heavenly planets, small boy from another, from the heavenly planets. And he fell down at the feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and offered his obeisance, and he was crying. Everyone was shocked. What happened? And he was crying and he prayed to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by your mercy. He says, I've been wandering this universe for 4 yugas as a crocodile because I was cursed by Durvasa Muni. I'm a naughty boy, and when I was in the forest in the heavenly planet, Durvasa Muni was relaxing under a tree. I just went and clipped off his hair, his mat of hair. When he woke up and found his hair was clipped, he knew immediately it was me. He cursed me to become a crocodile for 4 yugas. I pleaded, please, I'm just a small boy, I mean it, I'm really sorry, please, you have to help me, how can he cursed me to be a crocodile. Actually, this cursed me to be a crocodile. So then he said, alright, you'll be a crocodile for 4 yugas, and in the 4th yuga, Nanda Nandana Krishna, when he appears in Navadvipdham as Gauranga Mahaprabhu,
Gauranga!
And that greatest of all the holy dhams, he will appear there at that time, he will deliver you. So Deva Kumar circumambulated Lord Chaitanya. He was, said, by your causeless mercy, now I've been delivered from this curse. You are an ocean of mercy, please bless me that I can engage in your eternal devotional service. And now, my mother and father, they must be worried. I've been away from home for a long time. So I'd like to go and see them. And this way he took the blessing. He was taken off to the other planet where he came from. And it was time for lunch. Go back to Mayapur to get lunch with Sachi Mata. This is like a day in the life. So in there, in this past time of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, why I remembered this was because Jagannath Pandit mentions, whoever hears that past time, he gets freed from the effect of Brahmasab, cursed by Brahmana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that even if someone gets cursed by a Brahmana, they get freed from that by his causeless mercy. You see, it's very difficult how Daksha committed an offense and he got, simply by the causeless mercy of Shiva, he was given a head back. Now again he's doing devotional service. He's worshipping Hari. So it was so, but it's very difficult to get such a blessing. Here, simply by remembering the pastime of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one can be delivered from the curse of the Brahman. So here in this verse, what is Daksha praying in his reincarnation? He's praying how the Supreme Personality of Godhead is transcendental to the illusory energy and the physical categories it produces. This is very important for people to understand. Mostly the Mayavadis, they think that Krishna is a product of the material energy. They think that Krishna is coming from the Satya Guna. So, that somehow that Bhagavan is a manifestation mode of goodness and the original truth is impersonal, and that is beyond the material energy. But here explains that the Lord, He is transcendental to the illusory energy and the physical qualities. That means that Lord is Sachidananda. He doesn't have material body. Even if someone said, well, he can also have a material body if he wants, but his body, his form, is spiritual. If he manifests something visible to the materialist, that doesn't diminish his original spiritual position in any case. He possesses the potency for unfailing knowledge and supreme willpower. Whatever the Lord wants, that will happen. Nobody can stop the Lord's will. If the Lord wants to deliver you, nobody can stop Him. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I want to deliver this person, who will stop? We may think, how can I see the Lord? How can I? I'm so fallen. He's so great. But the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so merciful that if He decides, yes, I want to deliver all these conditioned souls, we can get delivered by His willpower. If he has the willpower, he wants to destroy a demon like Hiranyakashipu, nothing can stop him. If he wants to deliver our devotee, nothing will stop him. And his knowledge is unfailing. Sometimes we may have knowledge, but we forget, our memory fails us, our knowledge doesn't really solve. It fails us. Somehow the knowledge is not, we're not able to understand. Even Brahma got bewildered. Brahma Vimohanam Leela in Vrindavan is taking Krishna for an ordinary cowherd boy. So somehow we can, our knowledge may sometimes be inadequate. But because Krishna has unlimited knowledge, his knowledge is unfailing always. He is the controller of the living entities and the illusory energy. He is not controlled by the illusory energy. We are controlled by the illusory energy in conditional life in the material world. Therefore, we surrender ourselves to Krishna. We want directly to be controlled by Krishna. Srila Prabhupada gave the example that you can be controlled by the cat controls the mouse when he catches, she catches, whatever. The cat takes the mouse and lets it go somewhere, then again catches in the mouth. The way that the cat catches a rat is different than the way the cat catches the kitten. The cat catches her kitty in the mouth also, but that is to protect the kitten moving from one place to the next. So we put ourselves under Krishna's own protection, his internal energy. So then we become like a kitten protected by the cat. And if we are in material life, we're rebellious against serving Krishna. We're saying, later, later, let me serve Krishna later. So until that later comes, until we serve Krishna, then we're like the mouse under the control of the cat. So what do you want to be? The mouse in the cat's mouth or the kitten in the cat's mouth? This is the point. The conditioned souls who have accepted this material manifestation as everything cannot see him. But he is above the evidence of experimental knowledge. Krishna is in the spiritual world. Vishnu is in the spiritual world. Therefore, the experimental knowledge of this world cannot touch him. He creates the material energy, and the material energy creates this world. So there's too many steps removed to actually get to the point of Krishna. You can only realize the material energy. But those who are intelligent, they can see that there is an intelligence behind the whole running of the material world, and that is the Supreme Lord Krishna, Vishnu. Self-evident and self-sufficient, he is not caused by any superior cause. Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto him. This is a big question people always ask. Well, who causes God? Where does God come from? But he is not caused by any superior cause. He is without cause. He is the original cause of everything else, and he has no superior cause. That is why he is God, or he is Bhagavan, or Parameshwar, the absolute truth. Swayam Bhuve, manifest without any cause. In this way, very beautiful prayer is being offered. This prayer was explained by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that was already there in the Vedas. We may not be able to compose a beautiful prayer. We can repeat the prayer like Brahma Samhita or like some other prayer given in the Bhagavatam or by some previous Acharya. And by repeating that prayer also we get the mercy of the Lord. At the end, Daksha gets a special darshan of the Lord. So even though he didn't compose the prayer himself, he memorized it and he offered it to the Lord and the Lord accepted. See, sometimes
you're more or less like a rat in front of the Maya Shakti.
Krishna is more powerful. Why do you doubt Krishna's power? Even Daksha said he is above the Maya illusory energy.
But Krishna is not controlling me directly.
When you surrender to him, he says he will control you, protect you.
Right now, Krishna is not there,
then you should be crying that why you're not surrendering. Why you're not surrendering to Krishna? Surrender to his representative, the Guru, then he'd get the same shelter. But we can know Krishna by the Vedas. He is the writer of the Vedas. He is the knower of the Vedas. So the Vedas are actually the means to understand Krishna. Shastra Pramani. By the evidence in the scriptures, we can know about the Lord. So this is the special importance of the Vedas. Without the Vedas, we wouldn't know anything about Krishna. People sitting around talking or speculating, they cannot understand Krishna. If you want to know Krishna, you have to know from the Vedas. You have to learn the Vedas from a spiritual master. And in this way, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one can understand about Lord Krishna. Otherwise, it's not possible. To know Him for a conditioned soul. So, Krishna gives a process of devotional service. That's called Anukulena Krishna Anusilanam, doing devotional service in a favorable way. We have to do devotional service the way Krishna asks us to do it. Then it's favorable, then it's effective. You see, so there's the pure Vaishnava way, which is trying to please Krishna for His pleasure, to do everything so that Nanda Nandana, so Radha Ras Bihari Ji, so that they're pleased. And the bogies, those who are not really Vaishnava, they want to do their religious activity according to their own idea. And therefore, often it's not favorable to Krishna. So they don't get the same effect. Just like, for instance, when Lord Chaitanya was in Jagannath Puri, it also explains how he was observing Ekadasi one day and there was Gadadhar, Ramananda Rai, so many other devotees of Utkal, of Nilachal. They're observing Ekadasi, fasting and chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And then Kashi Mishra, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, they came with so many baskets of Mahaprasada, of Jagannath. Rice and the dal and the sabjis and so many Mahaprasada from Jagannath, the sweets, the jagajas and everything. And then they presented everything before Lord Chaitanya, but there was a Ekadasi. And he was fasting from grains. So then he offered his obeisances to the prasadam. And all of his disciples followed suit and he remained offering obeisances to prasadam until the sun rose. Then he got up and took bath, and then he broke his Ekadasi fast with the prasadam. So then one of the devotees had a doubt and said that since we don't understand that, why is it that the prasadam is pure? So why can't you take the prasadam of Jagannath, which everybody knows is purifying the whole three worlds, why can't you take it on Ekadasi? And Lord Chaitanya explained to them how that every day people take prasadam. Even sometime in the time they're taking, but actually they're taking with the mood of enjoying. Not so much in the mood of serving the Lord. So, there's this special feature that on Ekadasi, all the sins are in the grains. And it doesn't also, for that reason, those who are the devotees, on that day they just concentrate and chanting the holy names, and for that day they don't take any rice or any grains, and they just take their anukalpa, non-grain prasadam, and they fast, and they chant the whole night, remembering the glories of the Lord. They spend all their time hearing and chanting. So those who are more in an enjoying mood, they'll eat grains on that day. But the actual devotees, they will follow Ekadasi. So chanting the holy name and following Ekadasi go hand in hand. So when Lord Chaitanya explained everything like that, And everyone accepted that how merciful the Lord was, how we just had to follow the process the way He gives it. Some of these things are inconceivable. Why something will be like that? But there is like that. And then, if you want to achieve success in devotional service, you have to do it the way that Lord Chaitanya, the way Lord Krishna, the way the Vedas have explained. They said we should observe Ekadasi, so we observe Ekadasi. Ultimately, if you want to get very speculative, you go on arguing, but it doesn't produce any positive result. So, at a certain point, these things are going to become inconceivable. They can explain, this is the way it is, and this is why we do it. And well, why? After that, you know, you have to why? After a certain point, it just that's the way it is. You can explain it, how it is, and to a certain extent, how it came about. But then if you try to go really deep into like the whole mechanism, at a certain point it's beyond it. It's just the way the Lord set it up. So this is how we test who is really taking prasad in a devotional mood, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and who is taking it in a serving mood. And the devotees anyway, after the next day, the grains don't go bad in one day. So the next day the devotees are, every day they're feasting on prasad, and one day they're feasting on the holy name more than prasad. Or, you know, they don't take grains that day. So, there's so many examples like that. So devotional service has its intricacy. And the devotees, they take advantage, they just follow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's, the Vedas, injunctions, and they get all the blessings. And those who don't actually follow, then they miss out a lot of the special mercy. So it doesn't matter who one is, if you follow the injunctions properly, you get the mercy. Daksha, just following these injunctions now, giving a bona fide prayer, and he will see what kind of mercy he gets. You see. You'll also get a darshan of the Lord. So this way, if we follow the previous acharyas, even whether you have desire, no desire, all desire, whatever it may be, you get the mercy. So therefore we have to follow Mahajana Janagata Sukunta, Bhagavatali, the Bhagavatakadish, Divine Grace, Laisi Bhakti Vidanka Swami Prabhupada, as given by the previous acharyas. And this way we can be successful in our devotional service.
People say it's only whole grains, so they can eat your bodies and flour. There's a lot of different things going on. Some say, like, even spices, anything, even food that you just eat, and then some of those
are. Word uses in the commentary by some acharyas, but it's going to be the listing is given in the Hare Bhakti Vilas. I don't remember the Sanskrit verses. The Srila Prabhupada gave the explanation. Everything that has rice, no, grain, beans, and pulses, cereals, these things are not accepted. Because it mentions also sasya. The word sasya is mentioned in Hari Bhakti Vilas, so the Gaudiya Mat, they don't take the pancha sasya. The five seeds which are mentioned in the pancha sasya, which includes sesame and mustard. Well, some people say, well, those aren't greens. Because it mentioned pancha sasya, and it's somewhere in one of the verses that's one big sasya. Sasha also includes things like rice and also, but they also include a couple of oil seeds in it. So those oil seeds aren't taken. So in the Gaudiya Math, they eat ghee and a curry. Every other day they take mustard seeds. The best day in the Gaudiya Math is the user share. Probably for this kind of show, use that. So that we don't, the Vaishnavas don't accept, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas don't accept, some that's smart and the that you observe the goddess, they take they can make all these shortcuts. I mean, but the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we don't find any evidence that they were following. Rather, I mean, even if you can't take mustard oil, it's not even, it's just an oil from my teeth. So that's what to speak of taking in a ground, and then a chapati, the chapati is ground wheat. Unless they can show some shastric evidence where it says once you grind it, the skin goes, and that God is the, well, the onus is on them, not on us. It's not, no. It's a transformation. Prabhupada said you're cooking sweet rice, but it's no longer milk. Curd, you can't. So if somebody was making curd on fruit salad, still just cool curd. If you cook the curd like a curry sauce, then that's changed. But this is you take curd with fruit. This is what you're doing. You still have fruit for it. You just make milk and you mix up some. Banana in it or something. If you cook it with grain or sabu or something and then it actually changes, then you won't get the same tripti as drinking milk. It'll be another experience.
Only oil. Under oil that I couldn't find anything in writing.
Yeah, I remember personally, you
know,
I remember in my epiphany, he would take a regular massage. He was saying how the oil is meant for the body, the massage, the fat for eating. I remember one time in Calcutta, Vishima cooked him some special. Some preparation is either fried eggplant or it was a potato mash or something, and it had mustard oil. And then one preparation, and someone said, "Oh, Prabhupada, this preparation is very good with the mustard oil." The some preparation are there that are good with oil. It's like a special case. That case is like, but that was the exception. I mean, I was saying that, you know, because the exception proves the rule. But there was such an established thing which should have known, but. And someone would even say, well, that one had mustard. If you have that particular one, it looks like a special preparation. You cook that with mustard, that's the taste. But otherwise, you should cook with meat. So it's like such a common lesson in the folio. I mean, we spaced out a lot of that. We didn't, like, record everything that Prabhupada said. It was more than formal. I know what Prabhupada said, a buffalo milk. It's not good to drink, it makes it dull head and all that. But he said buffalo yogurt was very good.
It's thick. Spiritual world. They say it's just thick and it's just like in the spiritual world, Krishna's uncle has vomited buffaloes. And Krishna eats buffalo yogurt from those buffaloes.
Anybody do you have a question? He's saying that Bhakti, Balarama Maharaj is saying that one of Krishna's uncles has buffaloes in the spiritual world, and there, from that milk, they feed Krishna buffalo yogurt. I don't know what the Pramana is, but that's just where you can make.
There's no controversy whether that's a good translation.
And then Kavi Chandra Maharaj said there's some controversies. Anyway, well, the pundits point it out. I just. But Prabhupada said that buffalo yogurt was good. You see, if you take buffalo milk, the idea was when you take the milk of something, then someone asked Prabhupada, you take cow milk is good for the intelligence. They take buffalo milk, is that good for the intelligence? No. But then he said you can take buffalo yogurt. You want to change the yogurt, it's just physically good for you. So that's where I take it. I don't know. I'm just repeated what the Prime Minister said. They have to work it out.
Shlomo Bar Ki, Shlomo Bar Ki, Shlomo Bar Ki,